One of the former leaders of America's gun industry has turned whistleblower, and he's making remarkable charges against his former colleagues. Until a few years ago, Bob Ricker was one of the gun company's most powerful lobbyists. He ran their main trade group. But now Ricker says that executives at the leading gun makers have played a crucial role in supplying guns to criminals. NPR's Daniel Zwerdling has the story.
Bob Ricker doesn't look like a bomb thrower. He's a lawyer. He carries a leather briefcase. He has short hair and glasses. So in some ways, when Ricker sits down for an interview and he lays out his charges in careful lawyer's tones, they sound even more troubling.
The industry knows, and they've known for a long time, that there are bad gun dealers. There are bad distributors. And these people are the source of a large portion or a majority of all crime guns.
Ricker says he talked about this problem with executives from the gun companies all through the 1990s. Federal studies show that some dealers funnel tens of thousands of guns to criminals every year. Ricker charges that industry executives deliberately decided not to crack down on dealers who sell their guns to the criminal market.
If a particular gun company wanted to shut off that flow of firearms into, quote, the black market, they knew how to do it.
Bob Ricker says he's become a whistleblower because he wants to help the gun industry, not to hurt it. After all, he spent most of his career being the industry's voice. He explains his conversion like this. Federal laws say that dealers cannot sell guns to felons or to children. But Ricker says he and his colleagues realized by the early 1990s that some dealers still supply a big portion of illegal guns on the streets. And Ricker says the public started to blame the gun makers.
Every time a gun was used in a crime and some poor victim was shot, a lawsuit was filed. So the industry was coming under constant legal attack. They were paying up millions of dollars in legal fees to defend themselves.
Ricker says he started telling company executives, we, the industry, should take the lead and crack down on this criminal market. He says he told them it was the right thing to do. And it'd be good for business.
It seemed pretty logical to me that if you could clean up the industry, if you could shut down some of the sources of crime guns, it's going to be better for law enforcement, it's going to be better for the country, it's going to be better for the industry.
Ricker says a lot of groups share responsibility for keeping guns away from criminals, including Congress, the Justice Department, and local police. But he concluded in the early 1990s that the gun makers could staunch the flood of illegal guns faster than just about anybody. Ricker says, for one thing, company executives have access to crucial information that could help them figure out exactly which dealers funnel guns to criminals. And second, he says the companies have the means to stop supplying those dealers. To understand Ricker's charges, you need to understand that there's a federal system that traces crime guns all across the country. Jerry Nunziato used to run this tracing system at ATF. That's the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Nunziato retired from ATF several years ago. Now he consults to police departments. At the moment, he's opening a file from the tracing system on his home computer.
We looked at how the data is available to the industry, what they could do.
Nunziato says he helped design this system so gun industry executives could easily figure out which dealers are selling to the black market. And here's how it works. Every time police find a gun at a crime scene, they're supposed to report it to ATF. The police give ATF the gun's brand name and its serial number. Next, ATF calls the company that made the gun. And they ask, which dealer did you sell that gun to? The law requires the gun companies to keep a record of every transaction. Finally, the ATF Tracing Center puts all the information into a computer, and Nunziato has some of it on this computer disk. For the sake of this demonstration, Nunziato types in the name of one of America's best-known gun companies. And presto, the computer shows all the company's guns that were traced to crimes in a recent six-year period.
So this is the manufacturer. It's a type of weapon. This is a revolver. It gives you the caliber.
Nunziato types in some more commands, and the computer lists every dealer in the country who sold any of that company's guns that ended up in a crime.
And this is the number, the dealer number, the license number that's assigned to a particular firearms dealer by ATF.
So every dealer in the country has a number like this?
Yes, and this number...
Like your driver's license.
Exactly.
A few more commands, and the computer ranks the company's dealers according to which ones sold the most crime guns, and the list is striking. It shows that this brand-name gun maker sells its guns through thousands of dealers. The vast majority of those dealers didn't sell any crime guns at all. A tiny number of dealers sold most of them. In fact, 36 dealers each sold at least 100 guns that ended up being used in a crime. Nunziato says this doesn't prove that those dealers are crooked, but it sure looks fishy. He says he and other officials at ATF used to plead with industry executives to analyze this information so they could stop supplying dealers who had a pattern of selling crime guns.
I would attend at least four or five major industry shows a year and put on a presentation. I would show them printouts of the data that is available to them. I would offer to give them the data.
And that brings us back to Bob Ricker and the executives who ran the gun companies. Ricker says they had access to this kind of information the whole time he was representing them.
I would hear the horror stories that they would tell about, well, gee, we were called last week by ATF and we found out that there was a gun dealer in Florida who purchased 200 or 300 guns from us, and you know what? His license wasn't valid, and he went out and sold them on the street. I mean, these were topics of discussion at every board meeting, every major gathering of the industry.
But Ricker says the executives decided not to analyze the tracing records. He says it was part of a very careful legal strategy. More and more people were suing the gun companies. And Ricker says industry lawyers figured if executives don't look at the tracing reports, they can honestly testify, we don't know which of our dealers might be crooks.
They have set up internal procedures so that they don't know and can't be accused of knowing.
So the industry executives say even if there's criminals in our midst,
they're going to do everything they can to protect the worst of the worst. You know, it's exactly what the tobacco industry tried to do years ago, is if we can deny, maybe the problem will go away.
We tried to talk to company executives who Ricker says have allowed dealers to funnel guns to criminals, and none of them agreed to an interview. But one industry spokesman did agree to talk.
Well, it's not appropriate for me to respond to the specific allegations. We'll respond to those in court.
Lawrence Keene is vice president of the gunmaker's main trade group.
Let me just say that the notion or the suggestion that the industry is willingly and knowingly selling guns to criminals is patently false. It's offensive. It's really an outrageous allegation. And it's just not true. I think Mr. Ricker is a bombshell witness who is already bombed.
Keene says that Ricker and the former ATF official can make all the claims they like. But he says the fact is, executives of the gun companies cannot get the tracing information. He says ATF has never offered to give them information, which could show which dealers sell their guns to criminals.
Sure, we would like to see those individuals put out of business. We'd like to see those individuals arrested, prosecuted, and thrown in jail. But I think what your question asks is, or suggests, is there some way that the industry could know who those individuals are? I don't know how they would find out that information.
Keene says even if industry executives could find out which dealers keep selling their guns to criminals, the federal government has ordered executives not to take action. And to make his point, Keene showed me a letter that he got recently from an official at ATF. The letter says ATF does not want gun companies to interfere with any specific, quote, ongoing criminal investigations, unquote.
What ATF has repeatedly told industry is it does not want industry to try to ferret out or conduct its own investigations to find out who the corrupt dealers are, because doing that will jeopardize investigations and jeopardize the lives of law enforcement officers.
But the same letter that Keene showed me suggests that the government does want the gun companies to crack down on dealers. The letter says that gun companies should feel free to conduct, quote, any lawful follow-up action based on firearms trace information, unquote. And other federal documents explain what that means. 2 years ago, the Justice Department and ATF released their official strategy to cut down on gun violence. No, they don't ask the gun companies to interfere with ongoing criminal investigations, but they do say, quote, gun manufacturers should identify and refuse to supply dealers that have a pattern of selling guns to criminals, unquote. And the report goes on to say that ATF will give the companies the tracing information they need to help them do it. Which raises a question. If it's so easy to figure out which gun dealers are supplying the criminal market, then why doesn't ATF crack down on them? Bob Ricker says every executive in the gun industry knows the answer.
ATF is overworked, understaffed, and underpaid, and the industry knows that.
And Congress has passed laws over the years, which the gun lobby has requested, which put severe legal restrictions on ATF. For instance, ATF is not allowed to fine gun dealers, even if they keep selling guns to criminals. ATF can try to shut them down, but that process takes years. Remember the snipers who killed 13 people last fall around Washington, D.C.? Investigators discovered that one of the defendants got his rifle from a gun shop in Washington State, which has had repeated run-ins with ATF. But Bullseye Gun Shop is still doing business. We wanted to talk to ATF officials and to Attorney General John Ashcroft for this story. Ashcroft oversees ATF. Ashcroft's office said that he and ATF officials would not give any interviews. And some local leaders are frustrated. They say, if industry and the federal government won't stop criminals from getting guns, then we'll take action ourselves. Over the past several years, cities like Chicago and New Orleans and a dozen communities in California have sued the gun makers. There's no law that specifically requires gun makers to crack down on the criminal trade. But the mayor of Los Angeles, James Hahn, says he and fellow mayors and activists are trying to establish some novel legal theories. And he says Bob Ricker will be their star witness.
No, I can't point and say that Colt or Smith & Wesson actually murdered somebody on the streets of Los Angeles. I believe that they're negligent. I believe that they're deliberately indifferent to the kind of harm that is caused by illegal gun sales. That deliberate indifference, to me, is a crime.
So far, the gun companies have won more court decisions than they've lost. In fact, a state judge threw out part of the California lawsuit last month. He said he thinks gun makers are so far removed from street crimes that he doesn't think anybody could ever prove they're legally responsible. L.A. and other cities are appealing. Meanwhile, more than 200 Republicans and more than 60 Democrats in the House passed a bill recently that would forbid those kinds of lawsuits, period. Supporters say it's part of their campaign to stop what they call frivolous lawsuits against American industry. The Senate could vote on a similar bill in the next few weeks. I'm Daniel Zwerdling for NPR News.